busy doing nothing, working the whole day through, trying to find lots of things not to do. We're busy going nowhere, isn't it just a crime? We'd like to be unhappy, but we never do have the time.
So I wonder how many of you actually can relate to that song. We're being silly, but on the other hand, we're being a little bit serious here. A lot of people are very busy, and you sometimes wonder what you did with your time. Do you get to the end of the day and say, where did the time go? Are you running in high gear kind of from a.m. to p.m.? We want to put these questions to you, and we want to, like many Americans, many of you said, yes, I'm too busy, and I don't know how to stop and get off the treadmill. Allie is one of those listeners joining us from Easton, Pennsylvania. She says she's insanely busy, right, Allie?
That is correct.
Why?
I think it's out of habit. I think I grew up being in a really busy environment and always being heavily scheduled. And then I went to college and became an adult, and you always want to take the next opportunity to improve your resume, to make sure you're having a life because that's so important, and make friends and be with your friends. And it becomes absolutely overwhelming.
Is it part of the Puritan work ethic? I mean, do you feel guilty if you're not doing something?
Yes. I definitely think it has a lot to do with it. I was raised very religiously, and even though I don't ascribe to that now, I think there's that guilt that you'll look lazy if you sit down and relax.
Even if you're sitting there by yourself, you feel guilty just all alone.
Yes, because there could be a piece of laundry that needs done. You know, it just is that guilt feeling.
It's something I completely understand. And Tim Kreider, it's something that you've written about. He's the author of We Learn Nothing, a collection of essays and cartoons, and recently wrote an essay called The Busy Trap that was published in the New York Times. Tim, nice to speak with you.
Hi, nice talking to you, Celeste.
Allie is one of the people that you're talking about, right?
Well, I don't know, Allie, and I'm not throwing any accusations around. I was trying to isolate a very distinctively upper middle class syndrome, this kind of frantic busyness that, you know, it's not the busyness of people who are working minimum wage jobs or being single moms. You know, I have a friend whose brother is literally trying to cure cancer, and he complains about the weather. He doesn't complain about how busy he is. My sense is that it's people who, I don't know, it's covering up for some other sort of emptiness in life, that frantic busyness.
And again, we want to be very clear about what you just said, that we're talking about a certain demographic. I was a single mom for a good 12, 13 years, and I can tell you, being a single parent is one of the conditions in which you're busy, and you kind of have to be. There's never enough hours in the day. But what you're talking about is people like somebody like Allie, if not Allie specifically, somebody like Allie who feels the need to occupy themselves even when it's not necessary, right?
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, I'm as guilty as anybody else of squandering the time. I mean, you know, you can spend 3 hours on the internet and have no memory of what it was you did there. It passes as if in a dream. And yeah, I also was raised religiously, though I'm not anymore. And I think we're all afflicted with that Puritan work ethic, that sense that we are being derelict, that we're guilty if we're not doing something productive.
But you call yourself the laziest ambitious person that you know. And lazy is not necessarily a term that people think of in a positive manner. How would the idea, the pursuit of laziness, help us?
No, I was trying to sort of reclaim that label for the lazy and make it a point of pride. Well, you know, I don't really enjoy being indolent. I mean, I did write a book. At some point, I had to sit down and write. But all the things being equal, I would genuinely rather be goofing off with my friends. And I don't get enough of a chance to do that anymore because everyone's so busy.
So, Allie, let me go back to you. Allie, of course, was one of our listeners. Allie Bishop worked for the Pennsylvania government and keeps herself busy all day long. I mean, you must get some downtime, Allie. Do you have to structure it in?
I do. My downtime is Saturday, and then it's usually downtime in the sense of running errands, picking things up, going to dinner, you know, watching a movie, trying to actually spend time with my partner and doing the things that you know you should be doing. But I'm a writer. I'm a reader. I have an MFA in creative writing. I haven't read a book in 3 months.
Were your parents this busy, Allie, or did you ever see them? They were.
Yeah, it was this frenetic. It's this crazy pace. And I recognize that it's kind of living itself out. It's a question of how to change it.
So, Tim, this perhaps is not a generational thing? Is this not particular to our generation?
I don't know. I haven't lived long enough to know that. I mean, my parents were pretty busy, but I don't remember that having the feel of a lifestyle for them. I mean, I'm not suggesting that this is an easy problem to escape. It doesn't help that the economy is in decline and everyone has to work more for less money. Like I said in the essay, it's not like anyone's fault. I compared it to like a traffic jam or a trampling at a stadium. You know, it's sort of a mass collective problem that we're all inflicting on ourselves somehow.
And what are the after effects of it? If it's this problem, sort of a culture that we're all living in that I guess has been inflicted upon us, what negative effects does it have on our lives?
You know, I feel like it has something the late writer David Foster Wallace talked about in an interview years ago. He said, it seems like we don't ever want it to be quiet anymore. It's hard to go to a public place that doesn't have Muzak or the radio or the TV. And it's as if there's something we're trying to drown out with all this noise and frenetic activity. And I don't know if there's a name for what that thing is, but maybe we're all frightened of it, but it might also be really important. I mean, I worry that life has gotten so fast and so busy that we have never paused to think about what it might be for.
Allie, do you ever sit in silence with no cell phone, with no iPod, with no TV playing?
Even when I do my meditation, there is still music playing. So it is rare. Every now and then I will force myself to turn the radio off. I listen to WNYC a lot. I'll turn the radio off, turn off the podcasts, and just make myself drive in silence. But even then, I'm still engaged in driving. So no, not really sitting still.
Tim, do you spend time in silence?
Less than I ought to. For a while, I practiced meditation, but it's hard. It's hard to make yourself do that. Your brain is restless and craves stimulus, but I found that it really improved my life when I did that. I had more funny little conversations with strangers. I got less angry. It's hard for us to do, but I'm not in the business of giving advice, but it seems like it would be worth it to try.
Tim Kreider is in the business of writing. His collection of essays and cartoons is called We Learn Nothing, but his piece on this subject is called The Busy Trap. It was recently published in the New York Times, and Allie Bishop is a takeaway listener who works in Pennsylvania. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
And we want to know, what do you think? Are we too busy, unnecessarily busy? Give us a call at 877-8-MINDTAKE or post at thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.